Welcome to Whispers, everyone, on AM 1600 WKKX, the Valley's Watchdog. It is 8:08 p.m. here in downtown Wheeling, about, what is it, 47 degrees?
73.
73 degrees?
It's 45, you guys.
Oh, man.
Give us
Think warm. Think
yes, okay.
warm.
Give us a call here, 214-1600. If you're out of the area, call us toll-free, 866-514-1600. Whispers is brought to you by the Toy and Plastic Brick Museum in Bel Air, Ohio, and A Journey Within in Tradelphia, West Virginia. I'm Jordan Klein.
I'm Nick Queen.
And I'm Lola Miller.
And we got Sammy the Bull joining us here today. Yeah. He's Todd Jeffers has him cornered out in the office.
I think they're talking games, and he's trying to get a good tip on the next week's football.
Yeah, book. They're playing in book.
Okay, very good. So we have Marsha on the line?
Yes, we do.
All right, real quick, we're going to be joined with, I guess we've already joined, with Marsha from Journey Paranormal. Marsha?
Hi, how are you? Yes, I'm here, hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Where are you calling from, Marsha?
I'm calling from Ventura, California.
Okay, and what do you got going on down there in California?
On October 31st, on Halloween night, we have an event at the USS Hornet in Alameda, California. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're doing a 5-hour investigation, and we'll be doing a podcast, and it's going to be a lot of fun. It's $199 per person, and that includes dinner, and we'll have breakfast in the morning, and we'll be sleeping on the ship. And the USS Hornet is one of the most haunted aircraft carriers in the world. So
oh, wow.
It's going to be a lot of fun, yeah. And people can find out more information if they go to www.journeyparanormalsociety.com.
I wish we were closer to California. This sounds so awesome to be able to do this.
Yeah, can you tell us anything that you've heard that's on the ship itself? You know, what kind of things could people expect to find if they're there?
I actually did an investigation of the ship last year, and some of the experiences I had were there are a lot of soldiers who are still haunting the ship, who believe they're just doing their everyday routine. So you get the experience, especially if we are sleeping on the ship, so you get the experience of hearing them in the berthing areas while you try to sleep.
Oh,
I got
wow.
woken up to a soldier yelling attention at about 4 o'clock in the morning.
That's never fun.
Yeah. It's going to be a lot of, so it's kind of neat. There's, you can hear them marching sometimes on the ship and get some amazing pictures as well. So, it's a great time. There's a lot going on there.
All right, great. Well, you'll have to let us know if you find anything and send it our way, and we'll have you back on. Let us know what you find, okay?
Wait, hold on. Marsha, what was the price?
It's $199 per person without a sleeping bag. But if people don't want to bother with bringing bedding for the ship, it's $219. And it'll give, if they go to the website, it gives you all the information of what that includes and how you can pay for it right then and there. So, well, I believe we only have about 10 more spots available, so it's going fast.
Marsha, somebody called and wanted to know if the ship had been decommissioned now.
Yes, it has been, yes. It is now a museum.
Oh, okay.
So, yes. I do know that they won't be doing any more of the paranormal tours until, I believe, the summer of next year. So this is going to be the last one that they're going to be able to do for a while. It is going to be aired on Ghost Hunters on the 29th. They're doing an hour investigation on TV. It's going to be aired on the 29th beforehand. So if people would like to go, they can watch the Ghost Hunters show and get more information of what they're going to be in for the night. It's going to be a fun time.
So watch it Wednesday. Experience it Halloween night. There
yes.
you go. Very nice.
Well, that's really exciting. Thank you very much for sharing with us. And definitely when you guys get done with your investigation, we're going to have you back on to maybe talk about what you got.
Yes, definitely.
If possible.
We'd love to. Uh-huh.
And can you give us your website one more time?
It's www.journeyparanormalsociety.com.
All right, great. That was nice talking with you.
Thank you, Marsha.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, with an aircraft carrier, you go on there, you're not going to run into too many other people. I mean, these things are huge.
That's really exciting. Sammy, you just coming in. You didn't get to hear that.
No, I didn't.
That's the USS Hornet in, out in, was it California?
In California, yeah.
They're doing a ghost hunt, and they said in the middle of the night you can hear soldiers marching and yelling attention. And
yeah, she got woke up. She was on the ship last time, and I guess she was sleeping, and all of a sudden soldier yells attention and wakes her up. You know, ghosts are rude.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm sleeping, I do not want ghosts yelling at me, you know, to get to attention. But then again, you are going to listen to them.
I think the hair on the back of my neck would be at attention. I heard something like that.
Oh. I'd be at attention running full march off the ship. So.
With pee on my pants.
Man overboard.
Sorry, Lola.
Always the graphic one.
I had to get graphic. I know you're a visual learner and you want to...
Wow.
See what I put up with, Sammy?
Yeah,
every week. Well, we have our second guest on the line now. Bill Nell.
Okay. Bill Nell is... a author. I lost my website. There it is. I lost my website. He's a popular speaker, author, and consultant with eclectic interest and is best known for his paranormal research and seminars. He's been featured in the Wall Street Journal, Omni, the LA Times, Toronto Star, and New York Times, seen on CNN, NBC Nightly News, Fox Television, and many cable networks, heard on Mancow, Bob and Tom, Howard Stern, and soon to be on Whispers Radio. Consulted in films like Independence Day, Men in Black, one of my favorite movies, The Fifth Element.
Mine too.
That's one of the best movies ever. And, I believe The New World of, War of the Worlds. I don't know why that says World of the Worlds. It's a weird movie or so. And, he'll be discussing all kinds of different things. So, Bill, you with us?
Hey. How
hey,
you
Bill.
Doing
how guys? We doing?
Fine.
You're doing better than me, right?
That wouldn't take much.
I'm glad Jordan said that.
Wow. You see what I put up with on here?
Uh-huh.
Now, Bill, I'm going to go right to it. You know, we read that you were a consultant on a bunch of movies.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Well, you know, a lot of times many paranormal researchers and investigators, you know, have a problem with science fiction. I don't. I love science fiction. You know, I spent my youth listening to records with science fiction stories on them, reading books, science fiction, you know. I always enjoyed it. And, you know, a lot of times, if you're in the paranormal community, people think, it's hurting the real thing. Actually, it's not. It's a mirror.
Yeah.
You know, it's a mirror of what we all believe is happening. And, you know, it's actually kind of fun. So when, for example, let's say you're making a movie and you want it to be as realistic as possible. For example, Independence Day. When they first called me and told me about it and sort of sent me some, you know, pre-scripts that they were working on, I said, man, this is cool. I love this idea. You know, it's a real good summer shoot-em-up type of movie. You know, it's like the Old West meets the Alien, you know. But I thought, this is excellent. It's just fun. You know, it's going to make people happy. And after all, isn't that why we go to the movies? Well, maybe not all, but some of us be depressed for $9, but I like to be made happy for $9. So, you know, anyway, it was one suggestion I made, which they really liked. I said, look, you know what? Let's do this. Let's make it so that the president is completely clueless about Area 51. I said, because just think of the fun you could have with that. I said, besides that, if you go back to the original, for example, 1947 National Security Act, which kind of ushered in the modern age of, you know, vast secrecy, you'll find out that probably the last president that was ever told anything honest about UFOs or even knew anything about them was either Harry Truman or President Eisenhower, Dwight D. Eisenhower. So let's try it. They love the idea. So that's the kind of stuff you do. You give them little suggestions, you know. Men in Black was a toughie because, you know, there's not a lot known about the real Men in Black. There's these kind of shadowy figures. Okay, you've seen a UFO. They come to you and they say, you know, I'm Agent so-and-so from the super secret agency. And, you know, they arrive in antique clothes. They wear these really old suits from like the 1950s. You know, look like an old bad episode of The Thin Man. Or you know, got these old antique cars they pull up in. And they say, don't talk about your sighting or you know what's good for you, you know. So I thought, well, you know what? This is going to be a comedy, which is tough because, you know, taking a real serious subject. And I said, well, you know, let's make it fun. Let's make them really secretive. I mean, so they really don't have, like, any identity. You know, they forget stuff. And, of course, I liked the way they built it in there where they had these little flashy devices, you know. They kept flashing everybody. So, you know, you do stuff like that. Give them little ideas, and then they go with them. Sometimes they don't like them. Sometimes they do. And, you know, that's kind of what you do. And then also I do a lot of publicity for the movies. For example, you know, I used to do like 100-150 seminars a year. So as I travel around, of course, I do a lot of radio shows and stuff. And, you know, I'd promote the movies. And in return, these guys would give me like a ton of free stuff to give away at the seminars. People loved it. You know, you always like jackets and posters. And The Fifth Element was my favorite because they actually gave me a 15-minute reel on VHS from the film. So I got to show everybody, you know, a month before the thing even opened, people got to see 15 minutes of the film, and it was actually the beginning chase scene where he's driving the cab. So it was a very, very cool type of thing to show people, and people really enjoyed that.
Oh,
so,
I love that movie.
Yeah, it's one of the best movies ever.
It's one of the most beloved movies, I think, that Bruce Willis ever made.
I agree. One of the best movies. I mean, I even like the fact, one of my favorite parts, things in there, the hero, Bruce Willis, never comes in contact with the the main villain. You know, because
I think you're right.
it's perfectly correct because, you know, how often would that actually happen? So, you know, they come very close, but, you know, Bruce Willis is leaving the, planet at the end. I can't remember what the name of it is. The paradise planet. And while that other guy's landing, and of course, you know what happens to him. So.
And
that's
really,
a great movie.
Nobody does dry humor better than Bruce Willis when he wants to. He's very good at it. So, you know, it was a very, very funny movie. And you know, that's the point. You know, I'll tell you, there's a lot of people in the field of the paranormal that take themselves and the subject too seriously.
We were just talking about that earlier today.
Oh, it's terrible. And you know what? You got to be careful, because when the paranormal becomes, well, like anything else, when it becomes an obsession, you know, instead of an interest, you immediately lose your ability to be objective. And that's something I never wanted to do. So, you know, I'm able to laugh at it as well and study it and have fun with it at the same time.
Yeah, we have had some people on that have just, they take themselves and the world and everything else so seriously. And it's like, life is too short to do this kind of stuff. And I don't know. And especially something that is so faith-based anyway.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's a scary subject at times.
It really is.
And so if you don't have like a little bit of a release valve, you know, I think you're making a mistake. I think from a just purely psychological standpoint. I mean, I remember growing up in a family. My dad was an Air Force officer. He was actually an Air Force general. And I caught him late in his career because I was born late in my parents' lives. So consequently, he had all but retired. But, you know, we used to have these barbecues over the house. And he'd have all his, like, war buddies from World War II and you know, stuff like that. And, you know, from other times, because he stayed in until the early 60s. He did a lot of consultant work and other things. So anyway, you know, they'd come over and have a lot of pilots around because he was in the Air Force. Started out in the Army, switched to the Air Force when they became their own service in 1947. And, you know, when you hear regular people talk about UFOs, you're like, eh, you know, maybe they saw it, maybe they didn't, you know, maybe they just been, you know, sucking on Kentucky whiskey too much. You know, but when you hear a pilot, you know, someone that's been trained, you know, million-dollar training to fly multi-million, in some case, multi-billion-dollar craft, you know, say to you or say to somebody, hey, you know, I saw something up there, and I'm telling you what, it wasn't ours, it wasn't theirs, I don't know what it was. It's very impressive. And pilots, when they sit around and talk about this stuff, here's the cool part. You know, they will argue about it, they won't fight, they'll argue about it very gently, they'll discuss it, and they'll come to a kind of consensus. And I can tell you, there were many times when I kind of eavesdropped on my dad's little barbecues and stuff, where I wasn't supposed to be listening, that you would hear these consensuses that people just said, well, you know, it was the other guys. And, you know, I soon found out that the other guys didn't mean the Russians, you know. They had other words for the Russians that I can't repeat on the radio.
Right, yeah.
So these were somebody else. And that became very interesting to me. That just, I was fascinated, because then I'd go to school and the teacher would stand up there and say, well now, students, you know, this whole UFO thing is ridiculous. You know, the government tells us, we all know, the Air Force has been honest, they've said there's nothing to this, so we need to, you know, you can go home and watch Star Trek, but just don't think it's real. And I had that all my life, and it drove me a little crazy, because I'm like, well, okay, there's two realities. There's what the teacher says and what my dad says. Well, you know what? For some crazy reason, I decided to believe my dad.
Now I got a question for you, Bill.
Sure.
I was listening on Coast to Coast, you know, when you were on Coast to Coast, and you were talking about Walter Cronkite.
Yes.
Correct? And he had a sighting.
Yeah,
can you tell us about that?
Sure, I met him when I was a kid, literally a teenager. I'd started a UFO club in high school. We got a lot of attention from some local TV stations and radio stations, and he happened to see a reel that somebody sent him from one of the local affiliates that came on in the morning early before the Today Show. It was an NBC station. Of course, he was on CBS, but he saw it. And he was putting together this kind of like UFO special at the time. He had done one before. He had done one in the 60s. And for some crazy reason, he wanted to meet me, and I thought, this is very cool, because he chose 17 people from around the country, and I was one of them that he wanted to make a part of the special. Because, you know, he was the control. I mean, he was the man in those days. You know, he controlled every part of everything he did. So I was, you know, lucky enough to have lunch with him. So he really wanted to know about my dad is what he wanted to know. He wanted to know all about the UFO cover-up, because pretty much that's what my angle was, you know, all these stories I'd heard and stuff, and I told him. And then I got done, and he just kind of like sat there and said, you know, like something like, you want to hear about my UFO sighting? I'm like, no, you know, of course, you know. So I'm sitting there in awe. You know, I'm already, you know, freaked out because, I mean, you have celebrity overload when you meet someone like him. And then he starts talking about how that in the 50s, he went out to this, well, it was a Pacific atoll, very, very small island. And he was part of a press pool of reporters that were going to witness the test of a new missile. So he's out there. You know, it's not the most exciting thing, but it's news. And there's a whole bunch of them. They're standing outside this blockhouse. And they see this missile, you know, it's on the launch pad. Everything's about ready to go. Then out of nowhere comes this classic flying saucer disc, you know, just like you'd see on television. And he said nobody knew what to say, but before they could really say anything, it shot a blue beam down. Now, bear in mind, this all happens within seconds. This was very, very fast. The missile's taking off. The blue beam hits it. It freezes it, just dead in midair. There's a guard dog and a guard nearby. The guard dog is jumping and barking. It blue beam hits the dog and freezes it in midair. Another blue beam. While all this is going on, you know, everybody's just freaking out. They don't know what to do. Seconds later, the blue beam releases the missile, but explodes. You know, it's just gone. It's not there anymore. Totally, totally destroyed. Let's the dog go. The dog's fine. You know, it's no permanent effects. They're all ushered into this big blockhouse and kept in there for about an hour. Finally, an hour later, this full bird Air Force colonel shows up and says, well, what you saw today was a simulation. And what we wanted to do was we wanted to find out what the press would do if they were confronted with apparent evidence of extraterrestrial beings and crafts, you know, extraterrestrial crafts. And, you know, from the moment we started talking, there wasn't one reporter in the room that believed him. Because they came up with this incredibly horribly, very rapidly typed, one-page, triple-spaced sheet, as if they had already planned this whole thing, you know, and said this was a test. Well, first of all, from what Cronkite told me, and again, he, you know, I wasn't able to ask him any questions about it, and I wasn't about to. Because, I mean, I'm getting this, you know, in a sense, the story of a lifetime from the man himself, so I'm just listening. But, you know, from what he said, this was not some kind of a trick or some cheap effect. This was technology of the like that no one, you know, no one there. People had covered the war, you know, both the Korean War and World War II and other things, had never seen before. And they're like, there's no way in the world this is a technology that we possess. And I think everyone left there, you know, pretty much not believing it. And I mean, here's the funny part. After doing this alleged simulation, he tells everybody, well, you know, none of you can report any of this, of course. You know, we're confiscating all the cameras. You're just not going to report it. We just wanted to test you. You know, it didn't make any sense.
When this was after an hour, right?
Yeah, it wasn't very long, you know. And again, the whole thing only lasted a few minutes. And so when he left there, he left with a lot of questions. And he told me flat out, and like I say, he didn't say a huge amount about it, but he mulled it over in his mind for a very long time and came to the conclusion that this, they were just simply not telling the truth. You know, a conclusion which many people, you know, come up with, because they keep telling everybody these are just, you know, new type of aircraft that are being tested. I mean, and you know what's funny is, as a kid, I thought to myself, well, I'd flown in with my dad from time to time to these desert bases that were located in the middle of nowhere. I mean, there weren't even roads. It was a, what you call a fly-in and fly-out base. Everything had to be brought in by plane, and everything had to be taken out by plane. And, you know, no roads. And I thought, you know, why would they fly these things over places like Long Island, where I live, I was brought up in Long Island, or New York City, or New Jersey, or Pennsylvania, when they could fly them out over the desert where the gophers can only see them? You know, I mean, why would they test them over major metropolitan areas? Because one of the things that really got to me was, it wasn't just the stories I heard from my dad and his friends, but I mean, we were sort of honorary members of the local firehouse. We had a volunteer fire system going. And all the volunteer firemen, a lot of them, had their own UFO stories. And I mean a lot of them. And not just them. Nassau County Police, we had the EMTs, you know, the first responders, medical technicians, you know, and the subject of UFOs often came up because in those days, in the 60s, when I was growing up, you know, you had a lot of these stories on the radio. We had broadcasters like Long John Neville broadcasting out of WOR talking about this stuff every night, you know, and in fact, Jackie Gleason used to call into that show all the time and argue with him. I really enjoyed listening to that, but it was on everyone's tongues. So, you know, what's funny, I tell people this all the time, I challenge them. So if you want to really learn about it, you bring up the subject in a group. And generally speaking, you'll find that at least 2 or 3 people out of 10 have either had a sighting or know someone very close to them that has had one. I mean, it's that common, the experience.
Well, you're talking, I know one person in the room has had an experience, which would be Lola. which we've had a recount before. If you want to go ahead and tell him your story.
Well, it's really, we were on Alligator Alley heading toward the Gulf. We were leaving, Miami, the Miami area. And it was middle of the night. And, we were kind of worried about because everybody warned us, you know, that we were in a little MG midget and it was 2 girls and they were going, you know, all the rednecks go through Alligator Alley. So, you know, watch out for pickup trucks with gun racks in the back window and Pabst Blue Ribbon beer. They drink Pabst Blue Ribbon beer. So we're driving down the road.
Very detailed.
Well, it's true.
And don't forget about the cat caps.
But the first thing we see is an empty Pabst can on the road. Going, oh, no. Then this pickup truck goes flying past us. But the long and the short of it is when we're out there in the middle of nowhere, all of a sudden this light just shot from behind us straight in front of us. It was far too fast to have been even a drug plane, because that's what the first thing you'd think if you're out in the swamps.
Right.
And it was too quick, too, to have been anything like swamp gas or any of the usual things that they throw, you know, excuses they throw out there at you. I know what I saw, and that's what it had to have been. It had to have been a UFO.
Oh, and there's so many sightings in Florida. I mean, I went to high school in Florida. We moved there in about 1971, and I mean, you talk about the stuff that goes on. It's really outrageous. In fact, by the way, if people want to read some of my stories, you go to my website at ufoguide.tripod.com, and they can also check out my new book, and, you know, it's got DVDs and all kinds of stuff. But, you know, one of the weirdest things that happened to me, just to show you how crazy stuff, the stuff that goes on down there, when I started my UFO club in high school, we expected only a few people to show up, and we had like a few hundred people show up, including the school principal, who was this like tough Marine, who, you know, ex-Marine, who told us his UFO story. He saw a UFO in Vietnam. One of my first cases that came out of that club was a bunch of kids who went to a school that was about a half mile from my high school, an elementary school in the afternoon, saw a disc, saw it land in the back of the school in the playground, saw it take off again, and went home with about, oh, I don't know, 6 hours of missing time.
Oh, wow.
When I went to the school later that week to look at, like, with my little UFO group, to look what was there, that we found a crop circle. I mean, literally, there was just, we called them saucer nests in those days, but it was basically a landing circle from this object. And I didn't find out about their missing times. I went to talk to some of the kids and their parents. My science teacher, Mr. Clark, went with me. And, like, we're all talking to these people, and they're like, well, you know, we were there like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, thing came down, went up, and we went home. And by the time we got home, for some reason it was dark and everybody had the police looking for us. They didn't realize that they had all this missing time. So imagine me, you know, I'm a kid, I think I was about 17 myself, and you know, it's my first big case is, you know, like 9 kids with missing time, a saucer nest, and a disc-shaped UFO landing nearby. I mean, it's that way. You know, this phenomenon surprises you. And that's the thing I love about it. I've been in this for like 40 years, almost 40 years. And it never ceases to amaze me. I'm 52 now. Started out when I was probably...
Well, you don't look your age.
Well, God bless you. Good living and UFO investigating.
But, we won't say anything about the 60s.
It just blows you away because... You know, it always does the unexpected. Just when you think you've seen it all, heard it all, and done it all, some new thing comes up, and that's what's cool about it. You know, if it was a dead phenomenon, if it wasn't real, if there was nothing to it, there just wouldn't be all this amazing amount of evidence and correlating information.
I know. Last week we had Betty Hill's niece on.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And she was talking about...
Kathleen Marston?
Martin, yeah.
Martin, yeah.
Yeah, she's awesome.
About the map that Betty drew. And that, to me, that out of everything that she was talking about and everything that I knew about that experience, that part just blows my mind.
And let's not forget about the pregnancy test she was given.
Oh, yeah.
You know, almost 5 years before the procedure was invented.
Yeah. When they went in through the navel.
Oh, that. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, there's so much stuff about a rabbit that case. Died. You know, I've talked to Betty. You know, of course, she passed away a few years ago. I think it was about 10 years ago now. But she was awesome, and she was just like the best person ever. And, I mean, I met her so many times at different seminars over the years and conferences. And, you know, I used to call her on the phone. She was like this amazing person with all this information. And, you know, a lot of people dismissed her because no one could believe this was going on. But, you know, the moment you talked to her, the first thing you realized was she was telling the truth.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing case, yes.
Well, Bill, we're going to get to a break real quick. When we come back, we're going to hit all the questions that are coming up on the chat room. You're listening to Whispers Radio on AM 1600, WKKX, the Valley's Watchdog. And make sure to give us a call, 214-1600, or toll-free 866-514-1600.
Do you want to dive into the bizarre world of the paranormal? Do ghosts, UFOs, or the supernatural amaze you to the point of wanting to learn more? Then you need BVRN, the Black Vault Radio Network. With more than 750 hours of on-demand talk radio, syndicated from more than 35 shows, the Black Vault Radio Network is your one-stop shop for the world of the unexplained. Check us out and tune in 24 hours a day, www.blackvaultradio.com. Again, that's www.blackvaultradio.com.
Who's sure of herself and stands out in a crowd? Who knows what's important in life and makes that her first priority? Who knows that her community's greatest resource is the health of its people? Her name is Andrea DeShong from A Journey Within.
Hi, I'm Andrea. I believe in these stressful times we need an hour to be quiet, go within, make friends with our breath, let our mind, soul already knows the healing journey is within. This is why I'm extending this offer to you, that when you invest in a package of 10 one-hour massages, my gift to you is 2 free.
What the world takes out of you, let Andrea put back in. A Journey Within. 304-547-4003.
Attention kids of all ages from 1 to 101. Want to see Darth Vader and R2-D2? What about Spider-Man? Or how about a pirate that's traveled the seven seas? Or a NASA-trained and certified astronaut? Kobe Bryant and Dirk Nowitzki are there, too. And where can you see all this and more? At the Toy and Plastic Brick Museum on Noble Street in the all-American town of Blair, Ohio. Dan Brown and the folks at the Toy and Plastic Brick Museum are now listed in the Guinness Book of World Records, last year for the largest Lego image ever, and this year for the world's largest castle made entirely of Lego building blocks. Located at 4597 Noble Street in Blair, Ohio, in the old Gravel Hill School, the museum is open Wednesday through Sunday from 12 to 5 p.m. and Saturday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And there's entertainment daily. A band made entirely of Lego blocks, the Lego 3, perform for everyone. School groups and kids clubs want to take a road trip? Give them a call at 740-671-8890 for group rates. So, for 36,000 square feet of Lego fun, head over to the all-American town of Blair, Ohio, and visit the Toy and Plastic Brick Museum at 4597 Noble Street. Oh, and while you're there, don't forget the new space rooms open now, too.
Copyrighted images created under license by Lego Group.
Over recent years, the traditional office has become more of a touchpad than a daily destination. Long gone is the reliance on a landline to work away from the office. More people are performing work from home or other locations thanks to technologies like GoToMyPC that let you take your office wherever you go. With GoToMyPC, you have freedom from the office, enhanced work-life balance, and increased work flexibility. When choosing a remote access service, you need to make sure it's easy to set up, easy to use, and affordable. That's why you need GoToMyPC. And you can try it free for 30 days. For this special offer, go to mypc.com/techpodcasts. That's gotomypc.com/techpodcast. Take your office with you wherever you go with GoToMyPC.
Welcome back to Whispers, everybody, on AM 1600 WKKX, the Valley's Watchdog. It is 8:40 p.m. here in downtown Wheeling. I'm Jordan Klein, here with Nick Queen, Sammy the Bull, and Lola Miller. Give us a call here, 304-214-1600, toll-free, 866-514-1600. We are joined with Bill Nell over the phone. How you doing, Bill?
Oh, fine. How you guys doing?
Making sure you lasted through the break.
I'm still here.
We got a couple questions online. One of them is, in your opinion, have all the sightings involved aliens? They're talking about the UFOs. Have they all involved aliens from one planet or solar system? We've been visited from aliens from other galaxies.
Well, you know, one of the reasons that I research the paranormal and not just UFOs by, you know, individually, is because I think that in order to understand this phenomenon, you really have to have as much information as you can. So consequently, this is what I think. I think that some of the sightings are, in fact, aliens, and I think they're aliens from a lot of different places. I mean, even the greatest minds in terms of scientists of our century have said, look, if there's one race of aliens out there, you know, the odds are there's not just one, but 100 or 1,000 or 10,000 or 1 million or 3 million. So the idea is that how many of them can actually get here, I don't know. But I'm guessing there's more than one. Some people believe that you know, some of the UFO occupants are time travelers, perhaps from the future, from the past. It could be us, you know. There's just a lot of different theories. And, you know, even though we've got a lot of information, it's very hard to know what exactly is going on. You know, we talk in terms of aliens because that's our frame of reference right now. 100 years from now, who knows what we'll be talking about in terms of UFOs. But we're definitely being visited by beings which I believe are probably, some of them at least, are not human. You know, they're definitely different from us. They act different. They do different things. They have different types of technology. You know, people often ask me, well, how do you think these people could get here? Well, you know what? We started out with the internal combustion engine. And I often point out to people that, you know, back when that was invented, there were a lot of very, very credible people, including Albert Einstein, Nikola Tesla, you know, many others that had a better idea. You know, they were talking about electromagnetics, other things, other forms of propulsion. And who knows what would have happened, you know, if we'd gone that way. So it's entirely possible that these other beings have gone another way, found a better form of propulsion, are coming here. So, yeah, I think there's lots of different types of aliens, and who knows, you know, what all the occupants are in UFOs.
Now, talking about the different ships, you know, that people see, I mean, if you go out, if I go outside right now, I'll see probably at least 30 different types of cars. And one of the questions in the forum was, you know, can we tell, you know, where they're coming from, or, you know, how many different types there are by the different types of ships they have? I know when I was talking to you before, before the show, you mentioned the U.S. Pilot that was ordered to shoot down a UFO.
Yeah.
He saw something, if I'm reading actually a story on FoxNews.com, that was, you know, the size of an aircraft. I mean,
that was Milton Torres.
Aircraft carrier.
Aircraft carrier. I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't get the carrier part. That's a very important part for that story.
Well, he was very cool. He was very interesting. Now, see, he kept this secret for years, literally since 1957. In 1957, he was stationed at a NATO base, you know, American pilot flying a Super Sabre, you know, F-86D, and very cool aircraft, by the way, very fast, 700 miles an hour. And in those days, you know, that was pretty good. And he was told to basically crank it up and chased this thing, which he tracked on radar and ground radar. Now, he never actually saw the thing, but according to his radar and the ground radar, they estimated. Now, when he first saw it on his radar, he said, you know, this thing is at least minimum the size of a B-52 and probably bigger. As he got closer, he estimated it was probably the size of an aircraft carrier. And that's not uncommon. We have stories of these huge motherships. But before he could see it visually, it was simply gone. And that's the only time that we know of, because the British government recently released this information through their Ministry of Defense, and that's the reason he's come forward after all these years to talk about it. He never actually talked about it publicly. He did file a information, sort of some information about it with the Ministry of Defense in 1988, basically told them what happened. But it's the only known time that we're aware that American pilot was actually ordered to go ahead and shoot down, you know, one of these craft. But it's interesting, isn't it? Because if that's the response, what does that tell you? You know, it tells you they were very concerned about this thing.
that it probably was something that was hostile. And while they may have initially thought it was some Russian plane or something, you know, maybe a spy plane or something, they must have known better by the time they had decided the thing was the size of an aircraft carrier, because, I mean, whether it's the U.S. or Britain or Europe or Russians, you know, we really didn't have anything that big in those days that could fly in the air. So tells you a lot. That case really is very revealing. And, you know, there's probably a reason or a method behind the madness of all these releases. You know, you might recall that not long ago, the French also released a whole pile of information from, you know, Chapin, the French police, you know, that they had their own sort of investigative agency just for UFOs. It was actually an official part of the French police. Now, they released their stuff. And a lot of people believe that, in fact, this coming year, 2009, will be a year during which there's disclosure. There was some rumblings last year about secret UN meetings and stuff. Whether it's true or not, I don't know, but some very credible people said they were. You know, the idea of disclosing information on UFOs. And really, when you look at what's happened in the last year, all the sightings down in Stevensville, Texas, and all the stuff in Europe, tons of sightings going on, you know, in the UK and such, it's really kind of, it's getting hard to keep saying, we were just out there on some training exercises, you know,
yeah.
Which is what they constantly say whenever a UFO is photographed. In fact, I've got some excellent photographs. If people go to my website at ufoguy.tripod.com, I've got some very cool photographs of, helicopters from Aviano Air Force Base in Italy chasing three type of balls of light type UFOs. By the way, you mentioned the types. Right now, in my guesstimation, there's probably over 100. You know, get everything from cone shapes to cigar shapes to circular to oblong. I mean, it's just so many. And the funny thing is, they've all been seen over and over and over again over the years.
Now, like Roswell, okay, you get, because you were talking about Independence Day. Do you think, you know, with this Disclosure Act, if we ever get it really full-fledged out, do you think that Roswell really happened?
I believe it did.
I mean, do you think that we have bodies in, like, a underground, you know, secret lair? Do you think we have that?
Well, look at some of the statements we've got. We've got people like Barry Goldwater, former senator from Arizona, you know, big-time former presidential candidate, a man who tried to get in. Now, he was also, by the way, a reserve Air Force general. He once went to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, where they were allegedly keeping these things at a place called Hangar 18. And he tried to get in there and see them. He was told in no certain terms, well, you know, we don't go in there, you don't go in there, nobody goes in there. You know, it just does, you're just not going to stroll in the door. You have to have clearance. You don't have it. You don't have a need to know. You know, you've got people that have talked about this stuff. More recently, you had the astronaut. You had Irwin talking about this stuff, saying, look, you know what happened? People don't realize this. He actually grew up in Roswell.
Mm.
He was there when the thing happened. And he says that people have confided in him about this. Now, you know what's funny? And I got to tell you, this drives me crazy. It used to drive me crazy when I was a kid. It does now. You know, like I was talking about earlier, how the pilots, they're always national heroes until they see a UFO. You know, then they're deluded. They're suffering from depression. They've got some kind of problems. You know, it's amazing
they're
how
on
quickly
drugs.
The government
anything
just
to
turns
discredit
on you.
Yeah.
Oh, it's terrible. And the same thing with, you know, with astronauts. I mean, Gordon Cooper said the same thing. He's seen both UFOs in space and on the ground when he was flying training missions. You know, he was a very, very famous test pilot for a long time. And he had experiences. And, you know, he was fine until he started seeing. You know what? There was a saying when I was a kid among the commercial pilots that I thought was great. They, you know, people always ask, why don't you guys ever report any of these sightings? Say, well, you know what? The airlines want everybody to fly the friendly skies with United, but not with pilots that have seen UFOs. So consequently, they just didn't want to talk about it. And, you know, Lord help the person that did. I mean, they would send you to the FAA headquarters in Washington and make you walk through this mammoth building for like 5 days, knocking on 50 different doors, talking to 50 different people, all telling you you saw nothing, and all without pay. So there was a lot in it not to report, a lot more in it not to report these things than to report these things. So, yeah, Roswell, absolutely. I think Roswell happened. I think there's been a lot of UFO crashes over the years. And I think that really right now what we're getting is the tip of the iceberg. We're getting older guys that really feel like they've got nothing left to lose. I mean, you've got, you know, Colonel Corso, who came forward in the late 90s, wrote the book The Day After Roswell. Wonderful read, by the way, if you ever get a chance to read it.
Oh, it's one of my favorite books. I've mentioned it on here several times. So.
There you go.
Got mentioned again. I think we got a streak going.
Hey, Bill, we're cutting close on time. We got a big ghost story competition coming next week. Can you start us off? Do you know any good ghost stories that we can maybe kick off the season?
Sure, I'll tell you a cool one, okay? I was speaking in Chicago, and I was giving one of my paranormal lectures where I talk about UFOs, ghosts, and everything else. Guy came to me, and he said, look, I've got this thing going in my house. He said, you know, I keep seeing this woman walk around my house, full body apparition. I mean, she's just real, and yet she's not a real person because she'll, like, walk into a wall or walk around a corner, won't be there, but she looks really real, and it's daytime, nighttime. I went and saw his house, you know, and I didn't see anything while I was there. I didn't feel anything particularly strange. But, you know, I thought he seemed very sincere, and he kind of sketched out what she looked like. I go back 5 years later, okay, 5 years later, and I give a seminar there. And he comes out to my seminar again, and he introduces me to the woman. Because 3 years after that happened, he met her and married her, and she moved into his house.
Wow.
Oh, so wow. Is it a case of, you know, what is a ghost? Is it precognition, retrocognition? I don't know. But it sure was strange, and he had the evidence. I mean, there it was.
You would have just won a pizza.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that was neat.
It was.
I have no idea. What was his explanation of this? I mean, what did he think?
Yeah.
Precognition. Okay. I've run into a lot of these. I mean, I remember a case in Florida where I saw this one house that was bought for, you know, to kind of like flip, you know, fix it up, flip it, sell it. And the people that were fixing it up kept having all kinds of crazy stuff. I mean, and everything was happening in the bathroom. I mean, plumbing would just break down, you know, brand new wallpaper peel off the wall, you know, faucets would turn on and off. And I saw this stuff. I mean, strange lights, you know, your stomach that you just have to throw up. And then after like a month of this stuff going on, it just stops dead. Then the next day, the guy in the house behind this house shoots his entire family and kills himself.
Oh, jeez.
Nothing else happened. Was this some kind of a prelude? Was it somehow, you know, some sort of a psychic precognition? I believe it was.
Like it was just building up and building up.
Building up and building up. And again, it's not always spirits. I mean, there are times when there's spirits. I've had things touch my leg, I've touched my arm, you know. We've all experienced it. Some have scratched my leg. I mean, you know, ghosts can get hostile. But those kind of things really freak me out because they're just so darn different. They're not the normal haunting, and yet all the evidence is there.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Bill, that's actually all the time we got for you this time, but we definitely want you to come back. We want
to
explore a little bit more of your brain.
You don't want to go there, believe me.
I was just thinking that, but I thought I'll be polite and not say it. Your brain may be a scary place to be.
Well, you know what? You can read all about it. My new book called The UFO Guy on my website at ufoguy.tripod.com. Got DVDs here, got my book. I mean, and if you read that book, believe me, it will definitely keep you up for a really long time.
Oh, thanks.
We have a big picture of it and a link on our website at whispersradio.com. All you got to do is click on it, and it'll take you right to a place where you can buy it.
Well, I thank you very much for having me on.
Hey, well, thank you very much, Bill.
Okay.
The book was UFO Guy. The man was Bill Nell. Buy it, learn it, love it. It's going to be awesome.
I just don't even know. The one with the, what he was talking about, the lady, and all of a sudden he marries her. You know, I didn't even see that one coming.
I'm thinking
he's going to say, the woman's still in my house and she's trying to kill me or something. You know?
We dug up the floors.
You have a phone call.
Jordan?
Yes, Jordan has a phone call.
Oh, is it my boss because he called during the hello?
No, it's not your boss.
You're fired.
It is kind of your boss, the big boss.
It's probably your dad.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello, Jordan.
Hello.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jordy. Happy birthday to you.
Jordy.
Thank you, my mom.
I love you.
I love you, too.
You have a great day.
You, too. Oh, that made me feel special.
I kind of got tears in my eyes.
Why didn't anybody else join in?
Because I can't sing.
Yeah, she was doing, that was from
Look,
Grammy.
We didn't want to ruin it.
Know. I don't want to lose people listening to the show.
Oh,
I mean, if they heard me sing, it's just...
That was my grandma down in South Carolina.
Yeah.
Oh.
How nice.
Then how old are you going to be? Exactly.
24.
24. A young pup.
Young pup.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Be about a quarter of...
I'm coming up on 30. I'm kind of scared.
What are we, Lola? We're hitting 32, something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, about that. Yeah. Almost. Not quite.
Not quite.
Yeah, not quite. So what'd you think of this? What do you think of Bill?
I tell you what, this was fun. I mean, because we were left totally open. We could talk about UFOs, ghosts, Bigfoot, finances, stocks. I mean, if you even look at his website,
he's got
books everywhere from paranormal to how to make a quick profit on your home, how to buy the house of your dreams. He knows it all. He does it all. It's great. Wow.
So next time we're going to talk about how to sell houses.
He can be a guest all day and hit everybody's show and be relevant.
He is something else.
Next week, Nikki, what do we got?
We got stuff. We got stuff we're going to give away.
Yay, stuff.
No, we do. We literally have stuff. We have stuff that's piling up in the back of Jordan's car, and we've got to get rid of it. We've got 6 pizzas to give away from Da Vinci's Pizza. I don't know if I should say pizzeria, but Da Vinci's Pizzas. We got 3 massages, chair massages. Is that what she called them?
Yeah.
From A Journey Within.
Well, I go to her.
You go to her?
Yes, I do. She's good.
She's good? There we go.
She's our sponsor.
Andrea.
She's great.
Andrea gave us 3 20-minute chair massages. We got 3 $50 photo packets from Absolute Serenity.
So you can go get yourself a massage, eat a pizza, and then get pictures of you eating the pizza.
And then we got movie tickets from both Carmike and Marquee Cinemas. So, I mean, no matter where you're from, St. Clairsville or PA, you got somewhere to go to.
The question is, how do they get these? We're not just going to give them away to them.
Man, I don't know. See, it's Lola's birthday. I don't know if maybe somebody sings happy birthday to her to get a pizza.
Here we go. Or
start that up. We are having a huge contest on scary stories. We want everybody to call in, give us a scary story. We got so much stuff to give away. You're probably going to get something.
Yeah.
But you got to call in. You got to call
in. That's right.
And,
see, now it doesn't have to necessarily be ghost. I mean, if you've got a, UFO the size of an aircraft carrier chasing you, I'm going to guess you're scared. I'd be scared.
If you give Lola a goosebumps, you're getting something.
You're in.
Speaking of goosebumps and scary stories, anyways, we have, Tammy Gross going to join us again. You remember Tammy?
Yes, I do.
Whispered Tales of the Ohio Valley, her book that she's working on, so she's going to be here to help judge them. And John said his wife, he thinks she should be able to get in here. So they'll be the ones that are coming in. Sheila's coming in, so she's going to be
all
the
right.
one.
Right.
Sammy the Bull is going to be joining us, too, to help judge us some.
So we're going to just have people, you know.
It's going to be a party.
Yeah, Jordan and I are not going to give away the gifts. We're going to let everybody else do it. So
we're going to have quite the time. Call in with your stories. It's going to be awesome.
Now, of course, we have no calls. We're taking all the stuff ourselves.
You can't do that.
We can't do that? Oh.
No.
See, so you're going to have to get me out of this bind.
Tonight, Lola. We're going to get a massage and have a pizza.
We'll give it all to Lola and she'll just have a time.
Oh, you're too funny.
She'll have an hour worth of massages, eat 6 pizzas at the theater while she watches like
she's
6
like
or 7 movies.
I'll kill the pizzas.
She can have the pepperoni.
Jordan and I will join you with the pizzas. So if we can't do this, we got to give them away, so you've got a call.
That's absolutely.
That's all there is to it.
It's our like Halloween kind of celebration.
We're starting Halloween early. Yep. It's Lola's birthday. I mean, they're scary anyway. You know, it's gonna be our.
I see what I deal with on a weekly basis.
It's gonna be our closest show to Halloween because we won't be on. So, I mean, this is it. This is the Whispers Halloween Bash, and it is gonna be amazing. And
we've been planning this since like August, so
before we had a show.
That's how old those pizza coupons are.
we bought the pizzas then, and we've just been holding them.
Yeah. No, they're ready. You sure
you
want one now?
Hope you have a good microwave.
Well, it's got all kinds of green stuff. It's healthy.
It's a veggie pizza now.
Yeah.
It's got mushrooms on it. It's mold. No.
That's fungi.
Ugh. Yeah.
No, the pizzas are good.
You're making Sammy sick.
The pizzas are good. I swear they've not been made. And people are going to be wondering. But now, Sammy, I got to ask you, you're in the odds.
Yeah. A little bit.
You kind of go into that kind of thing. Uh-huh. What's the odds that we're going to be on the air in January?
You'll be here.
You'll be, okay, all right. Because you've been here, you've heard what we do.
I enjoy it.
Thinking you're sitting there and you're like, oh, they're gone.
No, that's why I came over tonight. I enjoy listening to you.
Yeah, we have fun. We try to, at least.
I enjoy this kind of stuff, seriously. That's why I come over. Like I said, I listen to you and there. No.
You got any ghost stories or UFO?
We did have a ghost in our house. First house, it was a little girl.
Oh.
Because when Billy, we know Billy, my boy, he's 21 now. The bedroom that he stayed in, it was an old house. His house was like an old schoolhouse, but the room he was in had a closet door. Then you opened the closet door, had a space that had another closet door that went in deeper into the house. And when he was a kid, he always pointed to that door. You know, like he had a friend that played her. He said, "This little girl." And we heard noises at times, you know, and I didn't really want to believe it or anything. But we ended up selling the house. The people who bought the house off of us had to move because they had a little girl. Same thing. There was a little girl
in that
room, in that two doors. And we found a picture in there. It was a picture of this little girl. I mean, it was weird because he said about it. Then all of a sudden, we dug in there. It was a picture. It had four pictures of the same girl. Like back, I mean, it had to be almost 100 years old, this picture was.
Wow.
The little girl dressed up in the old. I still get the picture. I'll bring the pictures and show you this next week.
No, you got a picture of her?
It's like a four pictures of the same girl dressed up. I mean, it's weird.
Oh, jeez. Now, see, little girls scare me half to death when they're ghosts.
Yeah. Girl looked like
ever since
about
The
9
Shining.
Old. I'm saying about 9 years old.
Yeah.
Oh.
9 or 10.
Now, was it twins and little dresses in the hallway?
No.
I had that kind of dress on there.
Really? Come with us, Sammy. Come play.
Play with us. See, and little kids can see this stuff. Little kids see them.
I thought he just made it up, you know, for a while. Really did. And we kind of heard noises at times. Didn't really think much of it. We ended up selling the house anyway. But then these people came in. They had trouble with their daughter because she was seeing us and saying things. And she was an older girl.
Yeah.
Same thing. You know, as a girl was in the same room. She stayed in that room, same place in that closet. You know, she was seeing things. And that's where she was wanting to play with that girl in that closet.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, you know, Larry King had a show on with, like, psychic children, which, you know, I'm thinking, okay, whatever, you know. And I watched it, and I'm thinking, my Lord, I couldn't imagine these kids are seeing, you know, like dead people, I mean, literally all the time.
Now, could you imagine, Lola, if we got a show where we had, like, four little psychic kids come in here and just sit?
They'd freak me out.
And they'd be all looking at Lola like this, like,
we would all be behind your little booth, Lola, and like,
hey, come over here.
That's a good story.
It's true. I'll bring the picture.
I want to see the picture, man. You know, bring them in, and we can get them on the website.
Yeah, I'll bring them
in. So everybody can look at them on the website.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Awesome.
Okay, guys.
That's it for us this week.
You're kicking us out again, Lola.
Yes, I am.
Whispers Radio. Make sure, please, call in next week. It's going to be a lot of fun. That's it for us. Leave you with this. Don't be afraid. Only believe.